Parashat Yitro. Ah, perfect timing. Parashat Yitro. So we're going to ask a few questions. This is the parasha. Yitro comes, he hears about the events that leading up to Yitziat Mitzrayim, that Hashem took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and Hashem took his mouth in a miraculous way, made fools, made a mockery out of the Egyptians, brought them out, and a few other things also, and that's what led to Yitro coming to the Jewish nation. Feel free to close it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Coming to the Jewish nation. Yitro, as we know, is the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. He came. Why did he come? So the Pasuk tells us why he came. Pasuk says, Vayishma Yitro, Chohen Midian, Choten Moshe. Yitro, who is the leader, the head, I guess, Kohen, it means like the rabbi, you know, for lack of a better term, of Midian, Choten Moshe, the father-in-law of Moshe. So he heard, Et kol asher asa Elokim le Moshe, ul Yisrael amo. He heard everything that Hashem did to Moshe, and to the Jews. What did he do? Ki hotzi Hashem et Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. He heard, Yitro heard, that Hashem took the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Okay? So if you look at Rashi, he didn't only hear about Mitzrayim, he heard about a few other things as well. What else did he hear about? So if you look at Rashi right below, Vayishma Yitro, Ma Shemua Shama Ova, it says Vayishma Yitro, and he heard. What did he hear? So Rashi tells us, Kiryat Yamsuf u'milchemet Amalek. Okay? He heard, what did he hear? He heard about Kriyat Yamsuf, he heard about that Hashem split the sea for the Bnei Israel, and that whole event, that the Mitzrayim also drowned in the water, and he also heard about the fight, the war with Amalek. So question number one is, why did those two things lead to Yitro coming, right? Why those two things? Were those such random things, you know? Amalek, big deal. They had a war against Amalek and splitting the sea. Why specifically splitting the sea? There are so many other things that happen in Mitzrayim. Why specifically that? Next, Rashi continues. It says, Ki hotzi Hashem et Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. Rashi says, Zu gedula al kulam. This miracle that Hashem just took them out of Mitzrayim, that fact alone is greater than all the other miracles that Hashem did. Greater than the ten makot, greater than the snakes, greater than the burning bush, greater than the splitting of the sea, greater than Amalek, greater than the man, greater than the well with all the water, greater than all the miracles that Hashem did, greater than Ananeh Kavod, greater than everything was what? The fact that Hashem took the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And that's why Yitro left his place. He came and he converted to join the Jewish nation. Okay? What about Yitziat Mitzrayim pushed Yitro to come? Next, also in the parasha we have Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, very, very famous. The Ten Commandments we have in this week's parasha. So we all know the Ten Commandments, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm Hashem your God, you should not have any other gods, so on and so forth, Kabed Davir Et Imecha, Shabbat, don't kill, don't steal, da-da-da-da-da. We know the Ten Commandments, second, third grade. Good. The beginning it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm Hashem your God. Asher hotzeticha me'eretz Mitzrayim, that took you out of Mitzrayim. I am Hashem that took you out of Mitzrayim. Right? So the famous question that many ask is, why does Hashem say, I am Hashem that took you out of Mitzrayim? Hashem should say what instead? I am Hashem that created the world. Right? I am Hashem that barati et ha'olam, created the world. Why is Hashem focusing on Yitzhak Mitzrayim? Right? There's a greater thing that Hashem did. Hashem created the world. That's a much bigger deal than just taking a nation out of Mitzrayim, no?
Maybe we don't have proof. Mitzrayim, someone saw, at least one person, like many people
saw. So since there was proof, you should say, I am Hashem your God that took you out of Mitzrayim. There's proof to it. Well, that's a nice answer. That's a good answer. What do you guys say about that? But there's no proof to Hashem creating the world.
The world is a proof.
I mean,
but if you worship Avodah Zarah, then that means you believe.
If you just saw God splitting the sea and doing everything, I think you'd believe that God created the world.
Right.
I think that's.
So then let me ask you a question, according to what you're saying. You need Hashem to come to you in the Aseret HaDibrot and to tell you, believe that I am Hashem your God that took you out of Mitzrayim. It just happened. Of course they believe Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. It means something to believe that Hashem created the world a long time ago. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Tangible.
Right.
Believe to.
Right. But that's like something you could believe. But that I just took you out of Mitzrayim, big deal. You believe that I just took you out of Mitzrayim. You know, maybe that's a nice response to what you said, but it's a very good point, Reuben. Very, very good point. You know, so why is he focusing on taking the Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim and not the fact that he created the world? And not the fact that he created the world. Also, we have, you know, 613 mitzvot in the Torah, okay? But there are only 10 commandments. What's unique about these 10 commandments? Why are these 10 mitzvot bunched together? What do they have in common? Okay, there's a reason why these 10 are all together. You know, they're singled out of the 630 mitzvot. Hashem, out of all those, He said, "I'm about to give you the Aseret HaDibrot, 10 commandments. Here they are. Boom, 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 boom. 10 of them. Right? What about everything else? What's unique about these 10? What do they have to do with each other? Okay. So to answer, let's review the questions. Three questions. First of all, Yitro found out about Mitzrayim, and that's why he came. Mitzrayim was the big deal. That's what really pushed Yitro to come. What about Mitzrayim? What was so special about Mitzrayim that caused Yitro to come? Question number two. The Ten Commandments. What does it say? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm Hashem your God. Right? That took you out of Mitzrayim. Why not that created the world? Right? Question number three. What do these Ten Commandments have in common? Okay? Fine. So I would like to begin just answering all these questions with one small yesod that appears in the Gemara Sukkah. We're learning Sukkah this year. The Shiva as a whole is learning Sukkah, but there's some shiurim that are not learning Sukkah, right? Some individuals are not learning Sukkah, but let's look into Masechet Sukkah for a second. So the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah, Daf Tet Amud Bet, it's really a Mishnah on the top. It says like this, Sukkah al gabei Sukkah. Sukkah al gabei sukkah. If let's say you build a double decker sukkah, okay, a two level sukkah, two story sukkah, right? That means that you have one sukkah. It's a perfectly made sukkah. There are walls. There's schach, okay. On top of that sukkah, you build another sukkah with walls and with schach. What's the halacha? No, who knows?
The first one is not good,
but the top one is good. Why is the first one not good?
Because the schach has to be in space, in open space.
In open space, right? Nothing can be on top of the schach, right? Therefore, you can't build a sukkah in a house. You can't build it under a tree. Nothing can be on top of the schach, okay? Very simple. Everyone knows that. Simple halacha. So the Gemara says, Gemara tzukah tet amud bet, sukkah al gabei sukkah, ha'elyona keshera, the one on top is keshera, is good, ve'atachtona pesula, the one on the bottom is no good. Right? Look at Rashi says a very interesting thing. Rashi says, "Atachtona pesula." Why is the one on the bottom no good? Right? So Rashi says, "Deshnei sechachin yeshla." It has two schachs. It has two schachs. What exactly does that mean? It has two schachs. Rashi could say very, very simply what Alberto is saying, what Shimon is saying, what Jason is saying. Very, very simply, Rashi could just say that it's no good because the schach on the first sukkah, you know, it's being interfered with, right? There's something above it. There's something blocking, something interfering the schach on the first sukkah between the first sukkah and the heaven and shamayim and the stars, and therefore it's no good. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says there are two schachs, and when a sukkah has two schachs, it's psula. It's no good. What exactly does that mean? So let's explain. Let's explain what that means to have a sukkah, for a sukkah to have two schachs. Listen to this. The schach, Rashi explains a few times, multiple times, and we know this is a simple understanding of a schach, of the sukkah. The schach is the essence of the sukkah, okay? That's why the sukkah, why is it called sukkah? It comes from the word schach, right? The schach is that ceiling, that roof. Why is that the essence of the sukkah? Why is it the main part of the sukkah? Because the schach resembles the protection that the sukkah has over you, and which really resembles the protection that Hashem has over you. It's the whole point of a sukkah and the schach is to symbolize the protection that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has over Am Yisrael, over the Jewish nation. Right? That's why the pasuk says, I forget the pasuk exactly, but it says the sukkah should be for tzel. It should be for tzel ul machse. Right? It should be as the pasuk in Navi says somewhere. I don't remember where. Who's here? Yeah? Yeah, what does it say? I know the Gemara says, don't worry about it. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, right? What is it? That sukkah should act as, the whole point of a sukkah is that it should act as a tzel, should act as a savior, as a protector, as a shield for the people inside of it. That's the whole point of a sukkah. Why? Because a sukkah really symbolizes something that happened in the desert, right? What happened? What was the big miracle in the desert? The Anane HaKavod, right? Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory, that there are clouds hovering over Am Yisrael throughout their life in the desert that really protected them from everything. That enemies would shoot bows and arrows to them, the clouds would take them, swallow them, and spit them back at the enemies. Okay? Not only that, because of those clouds of glory, their shirts never needed dry cleaning, right? Everything was taken care of. Everything was taken care of for them in the desert from those clouds of glory. So to resemble that, we have the sukkah. The sukkah is Hashem's protection over us. That's why it says, we say in every Friday night, HaPores Sukkat Shalom Aleinu. Okay? HaPores means like your pores, you spread over Sukkat Shalom, the sukkah of peace, Aleinu, on us. You spread over the sukkah of peace on us. Hashem, you spread over your protection, your wings over us. You protect us from everything. It's really the essence of what emunah in Hashem is. Emunah, to have emunah in Hashem, what does that mean? It means that you completely understand and believe that there's nothing to worry about. That Hashem is protecting you at every single moment. The sukkah teaches us that there's never a time to worry. Hashem is protecting us at all times. Sometimes a person thinks, listen, I believe in Hashem fully. You know, I believe in Hashem completely. But listen, I have to do my ishtadlut, which is true. You have to do your ishtadlut. Hashem wants you to do your ishtadlut. But where are the, and when you do ishtadlut, there are results. For example, you go to work, money comes in the bank, right? So yeah, you believe in Hashem. And Hashem says you have to do ishtadlut, you have to put in efforts in order to make money. You have to. That's built into the whole system of the creation of the world. You have to put in some efforts. But the question is, where does that money come from? Does it come from my ishtadlut, from my efforts? No. Ishtadlut, your efforts, going out to work, is a technicality that Hashem instilled in the creation. Hashem said, in order to get your money, you have to work. But the money's not coming because of your work. Your work is not causing the money to come. I am causing your money to come. I am causing your money to come. There's a technical thing that in order to enable me to give you the money, you have to go out and work. That's what I want from you. But the money's not coming from work. That's not what it's coming from. So a person thinks, sometimes, I believe in Hashem fully, but unless I do the most possible ishtadlut, the most effort possible, I'm not going to be successful. Person always, you know, very, very often I hear this. Rabbi, I believe in Hashem, but I have to get this internship. I have to get this. If I don't get this internship, Rabbi, if I don't get this internship, I'll never make it in life. I'm never going to make it. Without this, I'll be nothing. No, you're an idiot. If you miss one internship, there have been people in history that made it in life without that one internship. It's happened. Why has it happened? Because the internship doesn't bring you the money. Hashem brings you the money. So you do your ishtadlut. If you miss one little part, beseder. If you do two internships in your college career, instead of 17 like some people have, you're still going to make your money. Why? Because the money's not coming from your internships. Some people say, Rabbi, I believe in Hashem, but you know what? I also believe that if someone causes me a loss of money, he did this to me. He caused me a loss of money. Then I have the right to hate him. I have the right to hate him. No, you don't have the right to hate him. You caused the loss of money because Hashem said so. The messenger was this person. You have no right to hate him. He's a messenger from Hashem. If you weren't losing the money from this person, you're going to lose it in a different way. Rabbi, I believe in Hashem, but I also believe that if someone's doing better than me financially, I have the right to be jealous of him. No, you don't have the right to be jealous of him. Where's the money coming from? You think he's making all that money because he's trying harder, because he's better than you? He's trying harder than you? No. He's making that money because Hashem decided that's how much money he's making. You're making less money because Hashem decided, for whatever reason, you're making less money. You know how many people I've met before that are absolute morons, but they're millionaires? They're dumb as a rock. But somehow, that's it. They have money. And you know how many people I know that are really, really, really smart and intelligent, and they're struggling to put food on the table? How do you explain such a thing? It's based on your intellect. It's based on how much effort you put in. You know how many people I know that work tirelessly, that work such long hours, and struggle to put money on the table? Struggle. And there are a lot of people that all they had to do is one business deal when they were young. And what happened was, this guy, he inherited a building from the 1800s that was worth pennies from his grandfather. Now, he's a billionaire from that one building. He didn't do anything. So is it based on efforts? No. Is it based on intellect? No. What's it based on? Your Hishtadlut? No. It's based on Hashem. That's what it's based on. What you're really saying when you say those things, that, you know, I need to get these internships. What you're really saying is what? That you believe in two separate sources of power. That's what you believe. I believe in Hashem, Rabbi, I believe in Hashem, but I believe that money also comes because I have X amount of internships. Then in essence what you're doing, it's a scary thought, but if you truly believe that your money comes because of your internships and not from Hashem, from your internships, what you're really saying is, Hashem, I believe in two sources of power, Chas v'Shalom. I believe in two sources of power. And that is, in other words, a.k.a. Avodah Zarah. Two sources of power. That's what it is. It's called Avodah Zarah. That's why, going back to the original question about Sukkah, if you have two Sukkot, one on the top, one on the bottom, the bone on the bottom is no good. Why not? Because you're living a life where you feel that there are two sources of energy. There are two sources of power. The schach is Hashem's protection. But you can't have two of them. You can't have two schachs, as Rashi says. The bottom one is no good. Why? There are two schachs. You can't have two schachs. Two schachs is Avodah Zarah. To believe that there are two sources of power, two protections. One is Hashem, and the other one is my internship. That's Avodah Zarah. No, everything comes from Hashem. Not saying don't get an internship. I'm saying understand that even when you get an internship, that the money is not coming from your internship. Money is coming from what? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why, let's go back to our original questions. What does it say? I am Hashem your God that took you out of Mitzrayim. Why didn't it say I'm Hashem your God that created the world? Because to believe that Hashem created the world is easy. What happened afterwards is the machloket. What happened after Hashem created the world? So some believe Hashem created the world and then He took the keys and He gave it to nature. He took the car keys and He said, I did my own, I created the world. Now let's let the world run and see what happens based on the nature that I built, based on the creation that I built.
What is it called again? Deist?
Deism.
Right? So if it would have said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that created the world, and that would be one of our Ten Commandments, what might a person think, Chasr Shalom, what might a person think that, we only have to believe that Hashem created the world. But after that point, listen, there are many different powers that could bring, you know, things into the world, you know? The sun causes the grass to grow. The rain causes the grass to grow. This causes that, that causes that, this causes that, you know? And people are going to deny Hashem's presence in every single moment in the creation, in every single aspect of the creation. So what happened is that Hashem said, no. One of the Ten Commandments, Anochi Hashem Elokei, I'm Hashem your God. Not only that I created the world, but Asher Otzeticha Meretz Mitzrayim, I took you out of Mitzrayim. I created the world, but I'm still here. At every single moment in time, in every single aspect of the creation, I took you out of Mitzrayim. Then what does it say? Lo yelecha Elohim acherim al panai. You should not have any other gods. I am Hashem, created the world, took you out of Mitzrayim. And there's no one else. The unity of Hashem. There is only one, Vezehu. One source of power in the world. One source of power. You should not have anyone else, any other gods, that you consider as any source of power, having any source of power. So that's why Yitro, who was a goy, he was a Oved Avodah Zarah, he worshipped idols, Yitro. He worshipped multiple sources of power. What did he hear? He heard about Yetziat Mitzrayim. And that's what caused him to come. Yetziat Mitzrayim. Why Yetziat Mitzrayim? Because that was the label, that was the disclaimer, that was that public announcement to the entire world that Hashem was making. And Hashem was saying, listen, not only did I create the world, I exist and I am the cause for everything that happens. For everything. And Yitro heard that, he dropped all of Avodah Zarah, and he said, I'm joining this nation. There's only one God. There's only one. There aren't more than that. So if you really think about it, we have 10 commandments. But really all of them fall under the categories of the first two commandments, if you really think about it. There's Anochi Hashem Elohim, Hashem, your God, that took you out of Mitzrayim, meaning Hashem exists and Hashem is everything in the world. Lo yeh lecha Elohim achareim, you should not have any other gods, meaning there's no other source of power, only me. Based on that, keep the Shabbat. Why keep the Shabbat? Because by keeping the Shabbat, you're testifying that Hashem created the world, and Hashem runs the world. And by saying, I'm taking a day off from work on Shabbat, what am I saying? I'm saying that my money doesn't come from work. My money comes from Hashem. That's what I'm doing by taking a day off from work. That's what I'm doing. Shabbat, again, falls under that category. Lo tirtzach, don't kill. Why don't kill? Because that you have no right to kill another person because he made you angry. He's not the source of getting you angry. He was just a shaliach. Don't be jealous. You have no right to be jealous at someone else. Why? Because if you believe that everything comes from Hashem, then he has his money because Hashem decided he has his money. You have your money because Hashem decided you have your money. So on and so forth. Everything falls under those two categories. That's the connection between all the Ten Commandments. Everything falls under those two. Anochi Hashem Lokecha and Lo Yelecha. That's the message over here. So guys, we have to live a life. We have to live a life of one schach. We have to live a life in a kosher sukkah. And a kosher sukkah means one schach. One schach means understanding and believing. And always reaffirming our belief in Hashem that there's only one source of power. There's only one protection in the world. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One schach in the world. You live a life of two schachs. Chas v'shalom. You live a life by saying, hey, listen, Hashem, I believe in you. I'm religious. I come to Beit Knesset. I keep Shabbat. I keep kosher food. But chas v'shalom, but your rulership, your power is up until here. Then I have to go to work. And Hashem, your power comes up until here. From this point on is already my power. Chas v'shalom. It's already my power. It's already my hishtalut, my efforts that are bringing me the money. Chas v'shalom, that's two schachs. Cannot live a life of two schachs. Must live a life of one schach. So B'zat Hashem, with our emunah, in the zchut of our emunah, the zchut of us following the Aseret HaDibrot, especially Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Hashem, I am Hashem your God, understanding, believing that Hashem is our God that took us out of Mitzrayim, not only that He created the world, but also that He continues to exist in every single moment in time, in every single aspect of the creation. And also understanding that there's nothing else, no other power. Lo yelecha Elohim acharim. You should not have any other gods, meaning there's no other source of power in the world, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's who B'zat Hashem, we should be zocheh to a geulah shlema v'amitit b'mehira v'ameinu. Amen. Zaka baruch, guys.